Imagine receiving a note in your mailbox, seemingly from God, inviting you to return to the abandoned shack where evidence of your daughter's murder was found. This is the reality Mackenzie Allen Phillips faces one freezing March day, 3.5 years after his youngest daughter Missy was abducted during a family camping trip. The note is signed Papa, his wife Nan's affectionate name for God. Is it a cruel prank, a trap set by the killer, or could it possibly be genuine? Despite his skepticism, Mac feels compelled to return to the scene of his deepest trauma, the place where investigators found Missy's blood-soaked red dress but never recovered her body. The abduction happened during a split second of chaos when Mac was rescuing his son from a canoeing accident. In the aftermath, his family fractured in their grief. Kate, Missy's sister, retreated behind emotional walls. Josh found distractions in his senior year activities. Mac and Nan weathered the storm together, though Mac carried overwhelming guilt. What Young captures so powerfully is how tragedy doesn't just create grief, it creates a shadow that follows you everywhere. What Mac calls the great sadness, an invisible quilt of despair draped permanently around his shoulders. Arriving at the dilapidated shack, Mac explodes in rage, screaming at God and destroying furniture. As he contemplates leaving or suicide, the winter landscape suddenly transforms. 3 weeks of spring unfold in seconds, and the shack becomes a beautiful log cabin with smoke curling from its chimney. Inside, Mac meets three individuals who reveal themselves as the Trinity: a large African-American woman cooking who introduces herself as Papa, a Middle Eastern carpenter named Jesus, and a small Asian woman called Sarayu who shimmers in and out of focus. They appear as the Trinity informs Mac can understand. What's striking is how ordinary yet extraordinary this encounter feels. They cook, wash dishes, and converse, yet these mundane activities become sacred spaces of healing. When Mac asks which one is God, all three respond, "I am." The divine arrives not with thunderbolts, but with freshly baked cookies and bare feet in garden soil. Transformation works through authentic connection in everyday moments rather than dramatic religious experiences. As the weekend progresses, Mac's theological assumptions crumble. The Trinity reveals themselves not as a hierarchy, but as a circle of relationship based on mutual submission and love. When Mac asks about their chain of command, Sarayu simply states, "Hierarchy is your problem, not ours," challenging centuries of religious teaching. Papa's most radical assertion is that she has no favorites. She's especially fond of everyone, even those Mac considers undeserving. When questioned about divine punishment, Papa explains, "I don't need to punish people for sin. Sin is its own punishment, devouring you from the inside. It's my joy to cure it." This unconditional love extends even to Missy's killer. When Mac protests that forgiveness feels like betraying his daughter, Papa reveals that Missy has already forgiven her killer. This challenges our deepest instincts about justice, suggesting that forgiveness isn't about excusing evil, but refusing to be defined by it, and that divine justice aims for restoration rather than punishment. One morning, Sarayu invites Mac to tend a wild garden representing his soul. What appears chaotic to him is a perfect pattern emerging and growing and alive from God's perspective. They pull weeds symbolizing harmful beliefs while preparing soil for new growth. When granted enhanced spiritual vision, Mac sees creation as it truly exists: trees pulsing with living light, leaves shimmering with divine energy, people glowing with unique halos. In this heightened awareness, he confronts his relationship with his abusive father and experiences the transformative power of forgiveness. The garden teaches that transformation isn't about imposing artificial order, but revealing the divine pattern within life's messiness. God doesn't eliminate suffering, but cultivates beauty from it. Our painful experiences become soil for our deepest wisdom and compassion, showing how weeds and thorns transform into something life-giving. On Mac's final day, Papa, now appearing as a silver-haired man, leads him to a cave marked with the killer's symbol, where Missy's remains lie hidden. This transformation shows how God meets our different needs at different times. Inside, Mac's emotions surge. He admits his hatred for the murderer, feeling forgiveness would betray Missy. Papa explains that forgiveness isn't about diminishing wrongdoing, but releasing a poison that primarily harms the one holding it. With a trembling voice, Mac whispers, "I forgive you," repeatedly, each time loosening chains around his heart. They wrap Missy's remains and carry her back where Jesus has prepared an ornate box etched with scenes from her life. They bury her, planting a tree of life watered with Mac's tears. This portrays forgiveness as a process, not an event. It doesn't erase the crime, but offers healing by releasing hatred's grip. The tree symbolizes that beauty can grow from even the darkest soil. Forgiveness costs everything, yet gives back more. After his transformative weekend, Mac is struck by a drunk driver while heading home. He wakes in the hospital to learn his entire experience with the Trinity happened in just one day. Following Sarah Yu's guidance, Mac tells Kate it wasn't your fault, freeing her from years of self-blame over Missy's death. Though initially overwhelmed, she eventually finds peace. Once recovered, Mac leads Deputy Dalton to Missy's body using markings from the cave he visited with Papa. The evidence leads to the killer's arrest and discovery of other victims. Mac's transformation is remarkable. Once consumed by grief and anger, he becomes someone who loves larger than most, embracing life with childlike joy and seeing dark experiences as part of a rich tapestry crafted by invisible hands of love. His healing extends to planning to visit Mrs. Killer, a testament to his radical forgiveness. This ripple effect shows healing is never merely personal. When we find freedom from pain and bitterness, it liberates those around us. Our forgiveness creates space for others to forgive. The Shack invites us beyond religious systems into the heart of divine love. Through Mac's weekend with the Trinity, we're challenged to reconsider our assumptions about God, suffering, and transformation. The story portrays God as fundamentally relational rather than regulatory, interested in connection over compliance. As Sarayu says, rules will never give you answers to the deep questions of the heart, and they will never love you. God appears fully present in human suffering, with Papa's wrists bearing the same scars as Jesus, showing the entire Trinity participated in the crucifixion. The book suggests divine love extends to everyone without exception, reframing justice as restorative rather than punitive. Through storytelling, The Shack invites us beyond intellectual belief to experiencing divine love. What if our greatest pain, our personal shack, could become where we most profoundly encounter God? The invitation stands to bring our unfiltered grief and discover we're met not with judgment, but with infinite tenderness.